Yeah, so it's not like, I guess a lot of people think, you're not going to, you know, open the bottle and have an oyster at the bottom like a tequila worm or something like that. But during the brewing process, one of the steps is boiling the whole batch. So when we boil, you know, roughly 1,000 litres of what will be beer, that's the time that we add the oysters. So we just add them in a muslin wrap bag, so you get the flavour out of the oysters, but you don't get the meat and that sort of thing.
There's probably plenty of people out there who enjoy drinking a nice cold beer while eating a plate of oysters. But would you be interested in combining the two? G'day, I'm Brooke Neindorf, and the name Coffin Bay in South Australia is synonymous with oyster growing, so perhaps it's time that the region produced its own oyster stout. It's not a new idea. Oyster beer has been around for centuries, but Mark Butterworth from Beer Garden Brewing in Port Lincoln wants to make it his own. He's been perfecting his brewing technique over the past few years and plans to have his own oyster stout on tap soon.
So yeah, we basically shuck all the oysters overnight, let the salt water come out, and so you're really just mainly getting the flavour, a bit of salt water as well, but the nature of the beer is just, yeah, a nice smooth stout. The oysters, it's sort of hard to describe what they add. They don't add an oystery taste in particular, they just add a bit more flavour to it, I suppose, bit of mouthfeel, and a bit of extra, I guess, body to the beer, and it really suits the oyster style, and I guess that's why it's been a style for a couple of hundred years. I guess someone gave it a crack a couple of hundred years ago, and it's obviously survived till now, so yeah, it works, yeah. There are a few breweries that are brewing oyster stout, so yeah, it's not, you know, part of the mainstream lineup of most breweries, like a pale ale or an IPA or something like that. So it is a little bit novel, but yeah, being, you know, on the doorstep of Coffin Bay, it makes sense for us to give it a crack and try and do it justice. Yeah.
When you started having a crack at making the oyster stout, did it take long to work out the process and get the flavours right?
I did a trial batch about 3 years ago, and that worked out really well, just at a homebrew scale. And then Dan and I. Dan's our head brewer. We both did some trial batches just with different amounts of oysters, and that sort of proved that we needed, I guess, the higher end of what we had trialled. So there's quite a lot of oysters in this batch. It's around 40 dozen. It's taken a bit of research to get it right, and similar to what we did with our coffee stout, I suppose. I mean, you can't just brew a coffee stout. You need to know how much to put in, and similar with oysters. So we worked out roughly the right level, and I'm happy with what it's turned out to be. So, yeah.
With the increase of popularity of different craft beers, and you said about the coffee stout as well, is it hard to get people to go that next step and try a different flavoured beer?
Yeah, it is, but it's getting easier, I think. I think people around the world, and certainly in Australia and around the EP, are starting to appreciate the flavour options that, you know, beer has, similar to the wine sort of renaissance, I suppose, in Australia, going from, you know, what was, you know, cask wine to, you know, people knowing their regions and their styles. I think there's a similar thing happening in beer at the moment. I mean, there's a whole lot of flavour options out there. So with people starting to realise that, beers that they've never heard of, you know, like an oyster stout, are ones that people are more willing to give a go, and they're certainly seeing the benefits of that and realising that there are some really good flavours out there. And we're seeing, you know, a lot more, I guess, female drinkers and drinkers from all sort of generations trying different beers, and yeah, it's awesome to see.
Now, this is used Angazi oysters. Mm. Is it something that you can also use the Pacific oysters as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this batch has, I think it's roughly half Angazi, half Pacific oysters. So, yeah, we've certainly don't want to just say, you know, the Pacific oysters aren't relevant at all. They're obviously a hugely relevant thing to the region. But we wanted to tell a bit of the story about the Angazi oyster as well, which was the native oyster in Coffin Bay. And I think through the early 1900s was the oyster that people ate, and it was so prevalent in Coffin Bay and was dredged to the, you know, near to the point of extinction, I believe, and that sort of brought on the Pacific oyster sort of industry as they tried to get more numbers out and about. But yeah, there's a bit of a story there, and it is a tasty oyster as well.
Can you eat the oysters after you've used them in the brewing process?
Well, I guess you can probably technically eat anything, but it's not really recommended. We did taste some of the oysters at the end of the brewing process, and yeah, it's not a product that'd sell well, I don't think. So.
A bar snack that you can use?
No, not one that'd last more than a first taste, I don't think. So. But yeah, I think all the nice flavours are sort of taken out of the oysters and go into the beer, and what's left is just a bit of, you know, oyster matter and bitterness that comes from the hops, so it's not a good match.